Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and I am joined by Phil Conlon of Classical Underground, CIUT, Wednesday, say 6 to 8 p.m. And Phil, welcome to the program today.
Well, very glad to be here. There's a lot happening in the world, and people always come away from the Taylor Report knowing more and more important things than they did before the show. So
that's okay. Now you set us out some work to do.
Right.
I'm going to take a line out of Matthew, the book of Matthew. I like, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. His advice to be, you know, play things straight. This has to do, in my opinion, with these developments of the two really big things happening. That is the decision by Canada's American president, Joe Biden, to, you might say, open up problems on two fronts. He decided to speak to an old Democratic Party hack, actually, Bill Clinton's, one of Bill Clinton's campaign managers. I cannot recall his name, but he now has a nice sinecure at one of the networks. And he got one of it. He did an intimate interview with President Biden. And Biden told him his thoughts about Russia. It was choreographed. The two of them clearly decided they were going to talk about this this subject in the way they talked about it, which I think is very troubling. And assuming we had a Canadian leadership that really worried for the Canadian people, they would want to think a lot about the style of leadership we're seeing from the American president. And the second half of the problem, I raised the book of Matthew about the road to destruction. This broad gauge American approach to defining other people, pointing and accusing other states, which violates all the norms of diplomacy and reason, is should give everyone pause. In the case of China, the United States invited China to a meeting in Anchorage, Alaska. And after the Chinese had accepted and were on their way to the meeting, the U.S. issued sanctions on 21, I believe it was, Chinese leaders. Sanctions, telling them they could do this, can't do that, we might do this to you. I shouldn't say might, we are going to do these things to you. You know, when you're hosting someone, generally what you do is say, you know, on Wednesday, I'm going to meet so-and-so. I have invited so-and-so. You're the host. You act like a host. You don't say, and just when he's leaving his house, phone him up and tell him that you think he's a crook and that you've decided to give him a swift kick to hurry him on his way to meet with you. That's outrageous, actually. And both incidents were choreographed. They were arranged. They decided to do that. Speaking to the matter of Joe Biden, President Biden, Canada's president, we don't get to vote, but they know our hearts in the right place and we'll do what we're told. But I don't know how long that will go on. Signs are it might go a long time. But anyhow, Joe Biden had his friend asked him, President Putin is regarded by some as a killer. Do you think he's a killer? And then Biden did his avuncular. He didn't even say yes. He said, mm-hmm. Like, you're waking the great tiger, you know. And he said, yes. He's, you know, after all of that, with yes, he's a killer. And then he said, and Phil, this should appeal to you, Joe Biden is a Roman Catholic. He said that Putin has no soul. Not only that, he said he had told him that to his face. And he likes to say he knows Putin. Now, Joe Biden doesn't speak Russian, and the two didn't grow up together, and they never played hockey together. And there's no way in the world he actually knows him. He's met him. That meeting people and knowing people, you know, the Americans have this goofy thing that, oh, Biden's an experience. He shook hands with him. They had dinner together. Okay, but that's pathetic. But at any rate.
Phil, I have to interrupt. Because you did allude to the fact that I am deeply trained in Roman Catholic theology, and I want, which I am. And I have to say that for Catholics, you can never say about another human being under any circumstance, for any reason, that another human being has no soul. That is, if there is a heresy in the Roman Catholic faith, Joe Biden was giving voice to heresy. So he's a lousy Catholic, actually. Anyway, sorry, Phil, sorry to interrupt.
No, I thought it was very important to put, and I'm really glad you pointed out, because this is, it is so macabre and strange, really, because as it is a violation of ordinary norms, but particularly the Catholic, I assumed, and I'm glad you put in the words on that, that because, well, we know that in the Catholic Church, they had a great struggle in the time of the conquest. The Church developed a conscience where they said, look, the indigenous people of the Americas have souls. But that was a debate. There was certainly a wing of the Protestant faith that said, no, they don't. That wasn't a little debate. That was a big one. One of the greatest texts ever written was a Catholic priest, you may know his name, Phil, De Cassis, I think, who said that, this was for the fate of the church. This was crucial that this be established. So anyway, for Biden to say that, so there is, you know, you say, well, let's just play like he's serious. So if the individual he's speaking of doesn't have a soul, so what do you do? Who are you calling him? I mean, because it's just part of this confrontational John Wayne American exceptional notion that you can name people, you can put ugly versions of them out in the world and expect that anybody's going to follow that. That moment has not been critiqued by the American media, to my knowledge. Around the world, people said that's a complete blunder, and there really should be an apology. Now, we all know that you're talking about the country that never apologizes. You remember, by the way, George Bush Sr., who said, I will never apologize for anything my country does, ever. He said it. Well, I'll never do that. Let us hope he someday finds himself in circumstances where he does. But he at least said it outright. Ronald Reagan had a similar philosophy. He was belligerent, arrogant. He made the remark when someone said that Jimmy Carter had signed an agreement to return the Panama Canal to the people of Panama. Ronald Reagan objected, and he said, we stole Panama fair and square, and was satisfied with it. What a great joke he'd made. But anyway, back to Biden. This is the Russian ambassador has been recalled over this. And you're talking about a major power. Russia's a member of the Security Council of the United Nations. It's not alone in the world. It has many friends. It's actually gaining friends. It's been gaining friends throughout the 21st century because of states around the world growing more and more worried about U.S. conduct, particularly its tendency to violently interfere in the internal affairs of other countries. Now, Putin responded rather quickly, and it has been misreported. I don't know if you're aware of this, Phil, or if you saw it, but it was available, and you can see President Putin of Russia saying, he knew, by the way, he's a, as you know, he's a an experienced judo. Well, judo is judo. Anyway, part of the psychology, behind judo is that you take advantage of your enemy's so-called strengths, and you compromise him by luring him into a mistake. But at any rate, his response to was, and I hope people will take great care to find out what he said, because he said, you know, we have the, first of all, he said, I wish him well. I extend my greetings to him and hope that he's well, to President Biden. And he said, this matter of name calling toward us, he said, we are familiar with the phenomena of projecting, where people with bad qualities project, assume that the other person has their qualities. And so they accuse them. He said that very carefully. Then he also said that when I was a kid in a playground, we used to, of course, you have people, you insult one another. And he said, our response, one of the responses to people who insult you was to say, and he pointed at himself, it bounces off me and sticks to you. I thought, well, that's very helpful. That's a smart response. Of he's thinking not of Joe Biden, he's thinking of the rest of the world. Joe Biden is thinking about Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is thinking about how he looks in Dallas and what they think about him in Missouri. And, you know, is he tough enough? Has he bombed enough people to prove he's a real American? Does he have a shotgun in a basement? That kind of stuff. He is only thinking in the American bubble. Putin knows he's in the world. So he says, here's, as somebody in the world, here's how I view that. Now, Al Jazeera and other networks decided to translate Putin for us and to tell us what he had said. And so they put a headline out, and I saw it reprinted in print media, where here's how Al Jazeera translated what I just mentioned, what Putin said. And their headline was, Putin responds, it takes one to know one. And that is not what he said. He didn't say, I'm one, you're one, which was what that would be. We're the same. He said, it's not true of me. It's true of you. By the way, everybody remembers, don't they? The picture of Joe Biden and Obama watching TV together in that special room they have at the White House for watching the murder of foreigners. It's carried out by American drones or the Navy SEALs who always take a camera along so that it can be shown it back at the headquarters. Actually, it was one of the iconic moments. They killed bin Laden, and remember, they were all so pleased with themselves. And it became a kind of political problem for Hillary Clinton, in that the White House released the picture of them watching Americans kill someone, a foreigner, in a third country, Pakistan, and being delighted with themselves because they had defined him as a bad guy. There was no thought about rule of law. The insistence upon justice, where you capture and bring before a proper court the person that you accuse. And why do you do that? In order to actually show that you have killed the right person, you put him on trial and do whatever you decide to do. But Biden and Obama were sitting there happily watching the murder of bin Laden. And Hillary, the camera had her with her hand over her mouth, And people said, uh-oh, that doesn't look good for Hillary, because you see, she's not relishing the murder. She's not saying, oh, this is great stuff. And how she would like that. And I thought, and this is all related to our Biden-Putin business, a lot of their violence has this thing, has to do with establishing their cred as wielders of immense power, able to kill other people, and foreigners, and sometimes Americans in other countries. They killed two American citizens in Yemen by means of drone, and that was President Obama did that. But Hillary, I believe, went through her funny moment, macabre funny moment, when she cheered and laughed at the death of Muammar Gaddafi, who was an extremely popular leader, not only in his home country, but he was very popular in Africa, a close friend of Nelson Mandela. They always forget to mention who his friends were. But she knew that she had lost out in the bin Laden one, because they had a picture with her hand over her mouth. Her people protested that somebody at the White House was trying to harm her reputation. So she wanted to have herself laughing about Gaddafi. We came, we saw, he died, and then everybody laughs. And that is the psychological zone these people travel in. That's why I read, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. If you want to behave properly and you want to preserve the integrity of your country, and integrity guarantees safety, because everyone knows that you're going to do the right thing rather than going to do the wrong, you mind the P's and Q's. Well, anyway, the P's and Q's were violated in a very ugly way, which will have untold consequences for all of us, because Putin knows that the President of the United States has basically kicked dirt on his shoes and laughed at him. And I wouldn't suggest doing that to any leader. It's not right. The main point, underlying point, is you're talking about the head of state. Again, a member of the Security Council, nuclear power, and major strength in Europe and Asia. Of course, one of the creators of the United Nations, probably the most decisive nation in terms of creating the United Nations. And to speak like that is a bad sign. It's part of the expression that Biden has brought in. It says America is back. All the other countries of the world are looking on saying, you never went away. We noticed you were here. We see your warships. We see you sanctioning countries at a time of pandemic, when the United Nations and the World Health Organization ask you, please do not sanction countries like Yemen, Syria, Iran, the Islamic Republic. They are already in difficulty, and we have a pandemic, which means that all of us are concerned that the pandemic be handled, so you don't, you should not be sanctioning it, that is making it difficult for a country to fight the virus. But the United States has ignored all that, gone ahead and done what it wanted to do, wants to do. Now, on the Chinese side of this, the Anchorage meeting had a similar moment. The American Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, went out of his way to say to the Chinese representatives, he says, we want you to know we're back, America's back, and that we are very concerned to have a rules-based world order. And we have matters we want to take up with you that we're concerned about. And we do this from a position of strength, a position of strength. You know, that would be, again, that's just an insult to say that. And there's a proverb that self-praise is no recommendation. The Chinese responded very quickly to what he said on that point. And because they were very offended, and they said, look, you don't talk to us like that. There's never been a time in your history dealing with us that you tell us that you have a position of strength. That's just not done. And I have actually in front of me here something I want to read from the Chinese response in this matter. And this has to do with this, what order are we following? When the Americans, who are, after all, Canada's a vassal of the United States, whatever Mr. Blinken says to the Chinese, and whatever Canada does on the orders of the United States, such as arresting a financial officer from a major Chinese company at the pleasure wishes of President Trump, we did that. So when Blinken sits down and talks to China, he's got the Canadian proxy in his pocket. He knows that Canada will do what he says, you know, that the U.S. is going to do. So he insulted China. And here's some response from the Chinese. I want to read this. Mr. Sullivan, State Counselor and Foreign Minister Wang Yi and I have come to Anchorage. This is Director Yang. He's from the Chinese leadership. To Anchorage, United States, to have this dialogue with the United States. We hope that this dialogue be sincere and candid. China and the United States are major countries in the world, and together we shoulder important responsibilities to the peace, stability, and development of the world and the region. In China, we just concluded two sessions of the National People's Congress, Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, and during the sessions, we adopted the outline for the 14th five-year economic social development plan and a long-range objective through 2035. For China, we are now in a historic year where we will move from finishing the first centenary goal to the second centenary goal. And by the year 2035, China will surely achieve basic modernization. By the year 2050, China will achieve full modernization. China has made decisive achievements and important strategic gains in fighting COVID-19. We've achieved a full victory in ending absolute poverty in China. China's per capita GDP is only one-fifth of that of the United States, but we have managed to end absolute poverty for all people in China. And we hope that other countries, especially the advanced countries, will make similar efforts in this regard. And China has also made historic achievements in building the country into a moderately prosperous one in all respects. The Chinese people are wholly rallying around the Communist Party of China. Our values, our values are the same as the common values of humanity. These are peace, development, fairness, justice, freedom, and democracy. What China and the international community follow or uphold, and this is the part I'm most crucial, Phil, and to listeners of CIUT, the Taylor Report. Chinese leader speaking in response to Mr. Blinken, saying that he wants a rules-based order. He says, what China and the international community follow or uphold is the United Nations-centered international system and the international order underpinned by international law, not what is advocated by a small number of countries of the so-called rules-based international order. And the United States has its style, United States-style democracy, and China has the Chinese-style democracy. It is not just up to the American people, but also the people of the world to evaluate how the United States has done in advancing its own democracy. In China's case, after decades of reform and opening up, we have become a long way in various fields. In particular, we have engaged in tireless efforts to contribute to the peace and development of the world and to upholding the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. I like that, underline that, the UN Charter. The wars in this world are launched by some other countries, which have resulted in massive casualties. But for China, what we have asked for other countries, is to follow a path of peaceful development. And this is the purpose of our foreign policy. We do not believe in invading through the use of force or to topple other regimes through various means or to massacre the people of other countries because all of those would only cause turmoil and instability in the world. And at the end of the day, all of those would not serve the United States well. So we believe that it's important for the United States to change its own image and to stop advancing its own democracy in the rest of the world. Many people within the United States actually have little confidence in the democracy of the United States, and they have various views regarding the government of the United States. In China, according to opinion polls, the leaders of China have the wide support of the Chinese people. So no attempt to, the opinion polls conducted in the United States show that the leaders of China have the support of the Chinese people. No attempt to smear China's social system would get anywhere. Facts have shown that such practices would only lead the Chinese people to rally more closely around the Communist Party of China and work steadily towards the goals that we have set for ourselves. So now those are actually the words of the Chinese representative. I remind you that Mr. Blinken's brought this phrase, and it's very popular. It comes out of the mouth of Chrystia Freeland a lot, and also Justin Trudeau. They say a rules-based international order, words to that effect, rules-based. Well, the world doesn't belong to you. It's not your oyster. And they have to be reminded, and China did remind them, and China's not alone in this, that the place to take your opinion, United States, and your opinion, Canada, after you've asked Washington, is the place to take it, if you want to speak, is to the United Nations or some other appropriate international, but not to give orders, not to say, oh, it's going to be this way, whether you like it or not, and create this thing called our allies, democratic allies. The Globe and Mail the other day wrote a piece about Blinken, and they were just weak in the knees because Mr. Blinken had gone back to using language that we haven't heard since Joe McCarthy. They said, Blinken says, we're going to rally the democratic countries of the free world. Well, look, the world exists, the United Nations exists, votes are taken there. And here's a vote. They voted once on Cuba, every year they vote on the United Nations asking United States to stop its embargo of Cuba, and the votes go 200-1, 194-1. The U.S. holds out. So they do not follow the appropriate, they don't listen to other countries. So that's the most crucial matter, is to say, look, if you're going to say that the U.S. and its allies are the democracies, and by that you mean you, and you say you're going to confront China, you're saying that Trinidad, Tobago, Barbados, Jamaica, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, South Africa, Kenya, Ivory Coast, you name it, they're not democracies. You're the democracy. You're just telling all the other countries of the world that they're not anything. They're dirt. You guys, your little collection of the old colonial powers, you're the you're democracy, and you're the free world, which is, if nothing else, hugely embarrassing, should be, to the Canadian people, because we know that the U.S. is not terribly respectful of Canada. We're going to take up in the second half of our show, we're going to talk about how what we just, this little exercise of Canada not being able to get vaccine that it had ordered and paid for, but because it was under, it comes from the U.S., we're not permitted to get it. But we'll take that up in the second half. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I was going to mention we're on SoundCloud and Facebook. We'll be back in a moment.